Let's ask for the Lord's help as we come to him in worship this morning. Our holy Lord and long-awaited Savior, the righteous branch of Jesse, Prince of Peace and suffering servant, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us, make your presence known among us now and show us your glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. O Christ, our prophet, declare to us your grace and mercy and teach us the will of God. Minister to us by your word and plant it deep in our hearts. O Christ, our priest, teach us to rest in your full atonement that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Intercede for us and present our offerings of worship as holy before our Father. Lead us in worship, giving us words to speak and words to sing. O Christ, our King, rule and reign over us. Subdue us to yourself that we might trust and obey you. Guard us and protect us from all evil, and lead us in paths of righteousness. And Lord Jesus, hear us now as we pray the way that you taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our first lesson comes from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Hear now God's word. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God actually say, You shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, Where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord said to the woman, What is this that you have done? The woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
Thank you. Friends, let's stand and continue our worship singing hymn number 194.
The second lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 9. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord said himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
The chapel choir will please come forward. Friends, let's stand and sing to our great God, hymn number 195. be seated.
The scripture reading for this lesson is the book of Luke, chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the wealthy he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever."
If the chapel choir would come forward, and if the men would please come forward to collect the offering this morning as a public act of worship. If you're visiting with us today, we're glad you're here. Let me draw your attention to the visitor cards that are located in each pew, and there's a QR code. If you'd like to leave some information, we'd love to send you a small gift and some more information about our fellowship. We're reminded in 2 Corinthians 8, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Alex Hedgepath, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Fourth lesson, the angel's message to Joseph, beginning Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit.
And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Friends, let's stand and continue our worship singing hymn number 214. be seated.
The fifth lesson is from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Thank you.
Let's stand and sing to our great God, hymn number 213.
Our sixth lesson is the Magi, found in Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way."
chapel choir would come forward. Friend, let's stand and sing together hymn number 208.
Thank you.
Our seventh lesson this morning is the mystery of the incarnation, reading from the gospel according to John, John chapter 1. Hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." I remember several years ago when the ladies were coming up with a plan to decorate the sanctuary, and we've added to it over the years. It's beautiful. They do a wonderful job, and many thanks to them for the hours they put into this. But several years ago, they came to me and they asked, I don't know why they asked me, I'm just a pastor, but they asked, "Do I think the lights are too much? The lights in the garland, the lights in the wreath, the lights on the tree out in the narthex?" And I said, "Absolutely not. Not in my opinion." One of the, I think, best memories I have of Christmas is when you start to see the lights come out. The trees with lights, windows with lights or candles, the Advent wreath with lights. They're decorative, they're beautiful, but they are also symbolic. They send a message. And this is one of the major themes that runs through the scriptures. This idea, this core truth of biblical Christianity, this core truth of Christmas, that the world is a dark place. We've seen that in our passages this morning. John is running with this here. We see in the prophet Isaiah, that is a running theme. The world is a dark place. And in the Bible, when you talk about the world being dark and people walking in darkness, it's primarily referring to evil and to ignorance. Evil in the sense that when Jesus was born into this world, he was born into a world that is filled with violence as the result of the fall. We read about that in Genesis this morning. Suffering, injustice, abuse of power, homelessness, grief. It was that way when Jesus was born. It's that way today. It's that way going all the way back to Adam and Eve. That is the human condition. Evil. But darkness also refers to ignorance. This idea that if we're truly honest as human beings, whether you're a believer or follower of Jesus or not, I think if you're truly honest, you have to say this world is a dark place. There's a lot of evil. But ignorance in the sense that we don't know what to do about it. It's one of the greatest human follies, this idea that we think we can overcome the evil ourselves. That things are dark, but we have the light within us and we can overcome the evil, whether it's through politics or education or the economy or changing one's environment or more money or technology, whatever that may be, we have this foolish notion that, yeah, the world's dark, but we have the light in us and we can overcome suffering and we can overcome evil. But actually, the message of the Bible, the message of Christmas, is the exact opposite of that. The message of the gospel, the message of Christmas, is that things are really dark and we cannot save ourselves. Try as we might, we cannot save ourselves. But there is hope. And the hope is the light of the world. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. The light is from outside of the world. And that light is life. And it came to us 2,000 years ago in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. I hope you hear that message this Christmas season. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I pray that every person here today would experience the fullness of Christ this Christmas season, that they would know in their heart the outpouring of grace upon grace, that the glory of the only Son from the Father would shine into our hearts and give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And Father, I pray that we would all be amazed that Christ can be that real to us. We pray these things in His holy name. Amen.
Thank you.
please stand for the benediction. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ go with you this day and forevermore. Amen.